Aha! I knew it! Look closely at both fax numbers, Eugene.
Huh?
The one on your original, from your father, doesn't match the copy that Around the World Missions sent me.
You're right!
Your father sent a fax to Around the World Missions. And then, when they sent it on to you, his number must have been erased.
How could I have missed this? Huh. It's been staring me in the face for weeks. Let me see that again.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Did you look closely at the fax number in the original?
No.
Mr. Whitaker, it's a Connellsville number. My father is nearby!
Was nearby. Don't get ahead of yourself, Eugene. This fax was sent more than a year ago.
You're absolutely right, which means there's only one course of action to take. Hand me the phone.
Yeah, sure. What are you doing?
I'm calling the number.
But it's a fax machine, Eugene. No one will pick up.
Hey, thank you for calling Pete's Gas and Chow, home of the Beef Jerky Magnet Set. This is BJ.
Hello.
Can I help you?
I'm sorry, I was expecting a fax machine.
Oh, coolness, man. I do the same thing all the time. Call and talk to fax machines.
Sir, I have a fax that came from your number, but I'm confused.
We use the same line for phone and fax machine.
Then I need to ask about a person who sent a fax from your location about a year ago. You see...
What?
Well, he looked like... how would you describe him, Mr. Whitaker?
He looked like you, Eugene.
Oh, right. He would have been a tall, slender, handsome man, rugged and adventurous.
Oh, boy.
With brown hair and a mustache.
Look, I need to get off the line. My girlfriend, Adrian, gets really mad when she gets a busy signal.
No, wait. I'll apologize to Adrian personally. I'll call him back.
Hey, thank you for calling Pete's Gas and Chow. Is this Adrian?
No.
Hold, please.
I'm guessing we're going to be on hold for quite a while.
Well, why don't we go to Connellsville and visit him?
Excellent idea.
Still can't get over how nice it was of your church to give us that box.
It's not nice. It's dumb.
Oh, Grady, you've done nothing but complain about this.
But we're not poor, Mom. We shouldn't have to be adopted.
We may not be as poor as some, but...
They messed up this whole thing. They even gave back my blanket. Let's get rid of this stuff. Give it to the guy at the park.
Now, Grady...
You said that we should give to adopt a family, right?
Yes.
Well, now we have a lot more to give.
You're right.
Yes!
You pick 5 things from this box to give him.
Only 5?
Yes, no discussion.
I guess it's better than nothing. Can I go now?
I'll drive you over this afternoon.
Why? Can't I go by myself?
Didn't we already discuss talking to strangers?
How come you get to talk to strangers?
It's something you'll understand.
When I'm older, I know.
No, don't be like that, Adrian. No, I do want to talk. I could listen to your voice for hours.
Pardon me. Excuse me. I need assistance.
Slow down, Eugene.
Hey, you'll have to wait, man. No. I'm still here.
But this is an urgent matter.
So is this phone call.
But I need to ask about this fax. It'll only take a moment.
No, Adrian, it's just a customer.
Give me the phone, please.
Hey, give me that.
Hey, Eugene.
Adrian, hello. Eugene Meltzner. Can he call you back?
What are you doing?
Yes, this is an urgent matter. Thank you. You're very kind. PJ is a fortunate man. Goodbye. Lovely girl.
Yeah, she is. What was that all about?
I'm terribly sorry, but I need to
know... That was long distance.
I'll pay to call her back, but I must ask about this fax to Cairo.
Fine, if it'll make you go away. Let me see it.
Thanks, here.
Did you say Cairo?
Yes.
That's like in Africa, right?
Unless they moved it.
Coolness. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, I remember this. He came in right when I first started working here. So you're the one he sent it to, huh?
I am the one to whom he sent it, yes, albeit indirectly. But when you say he, would you be talking about a tall, slender, handsome man, rugged and adventurous, with brown hair and a mustache?
Nah. Joel didn't look anything like that.
Joel?
Yeah, the guy whom sent the fax.
The man's name was Joel?
Yep.
What did he look like?
He was a big guy, kind of fat. Had black hair that he wore in dreadlocks.
How old was he?
Really old. Like in his 50s.
Yeah, must have been ancient then.
Did he say where he was from?
No. Do you want to know his shoe size too?
No, that won't be necessary.
Good, I was joking.
Quite frankly, I'm surprised that you remember this much detail. After all, you only saw this man one time, right?
Well, yeah. And the only reason I remember was because it was strange for a homeless guy to send a fax to another country.
Homeless? What makes you say he was homeless?
Well, there's some kind of shelter down the street. They walk by here all the time. Trust me, I know him when I see him.
So, do you remember anything else about him?
Anything else? Afraid not. That's about it. He just came in and said he had to send a fax for someone.
Oh, he was sending a fax for someone.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, neato. So, you got your question answered. Can I call Adrian now?
Oh, I suppose.
You said you'd pay to call her, man.
Oh, right. Do you take credit cards?
Credit cards? Dude, I'm a teenager.
So, what did you make of his story?
Well, to quote Lewis Carroll, curiouser and curiouser. It appears that my father didn't send the fax at all.
Or maybe your father asked this man, Joel, to send the fax for him. That's what it sounded like to me.
Perhaps. Mr. Whitaker, we've got to find this Joel. I feel confident that he can help us pinpoint my father's whereabouts.
Well, was there anyone that your father trusted? Any other associates or relatives?
Not that I know of. And certainly none of his archaeologist friends would be homeless and destitute on the streets of Connellsville. Now, he said the homeless shelter was just down the street.
Yes, it's about four blocks on the right. It's called Solid Ground.
Oh, you're familiar with it?
Well, I know the director, Don Winters.
Why am I not surprised?
Hey, Whit.
Hello, Don.
I'm looking forward to that dinner at Whit's End tonight.
Oh.
I know the residents here will appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Don, let me introduce Eugene Melsner.
Eugene, glad to make your acquaintance.
And yours as well.
Now, what's this all about, Whit?
Well, it's a long story, but essentially, Eugene here is trying to track down someone who may have stayed at your shelter at one point.
Who?
Well, I'm afraid that I'll have to be fairly vague. I know his name is Joel. I don't know his last name.
Joel, huh?
Yes.
Is he middle-aged and heavyset with long hair?
Well, yes. Yes, that's him.
Uh-huh.
What do you know about him, Don?
Not much, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't worry. That's been the norm for this investigation.
Oh, I think he first came here a little over a year ago. A nice guy. Pretty quiet.
Do you have any idea where he was going when he left?
Joel moves around a lot. He'll be here for a week and then gone for a month. He's been here about, 3 weeks now. That might be a record.
You mean he's here right now?
Well, I don't know if he's here at this very moment, but I saw him last night.
Could we check?
Oh, sure. His bunk's down the hall. Right through this door. Oh, you're in luck. Hey, Joel.
Huh?
What? I got a couple of people here who'd like to see you.
We'd like to talk to you about Leonard Melsner.
I gotta go.
Hey, where are you going?
Wait, come back.
Wait. Now what?
We run after him, of course. Come on, Eugene.
Wait, stop. Please.
We just want to talk to you, Joel.
Joel, wait. It's no use. He's faster than we are.
I need to get back on Connie's diet again.
I feel like I'm in the midst of a proverbial mirage. Whenever I get close, the thing I'm after disappears.
No, I'm sorry, Eugene.
Oh, never mind, Mr. Whitaker. Perhaps it's because my glasses are fogged up.
Do you need a handkerchief?
Oh, yes, please.
Here.
Oh. We ran quite a distance.
Yeah.
It's probably half a mile from the shelter to the cemetery here. I don't think I've moved that fast since Katrina and I were chased by that water buffalo in Suriname.
What?
Oh, not to worry. The Jeep was highly powered.
Not that, Eugene. Look.
Oh, one moment while I put my glasses back on. Now, what is it?
Under that oak tree?
Oh, acorns. I'm not quite understanding your fascination, Mr. Whitaker.
No, Eugene. Huh? The headstone. The surname inscribed is Melsner.
Oh, yes, of course. It's nothing mysterious, Mr. Whitaker. I know about that grave.
You do?
Mm-hmm. It's my grandfather, Hiram Meltzner. I've been here to pay respects a number of times. Although it's been a while, you see,
Eugene, you might want to wipe your glasses off again.
Why?
Because Hiram's isn't the only Meltzner tombstone.
What? You're right. Thelma Meltzner, beloved wife and mother. It's my mom's grave, Mr. Whittaker. And it appears to have been put up not long ago. Who would have done this?
Eugene, wait.
Oh, but it makes no sense. I saw my mother's grave in Africa.
Eugene.
No, what?
Look, over here. Another tombstone.
Oh. Mr. Whittaker, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing?
I'm afraid so. The inscription says, "Rest in peace, Eugene Meltzner."
I don't understand. Why would someone put up graves for my mother and me? Specifically me, since I have yet to die.
And there's one for an Everett Meltzner, too.
Everett?
A cousin? Another uncle?
No, I studied my family tree quite extensively a few years ago, and I certainly didn't come across an Everett.
Ah, Eugene, did you notice the date?
What do you mean?
According to this, you died when you were 7.
I've seen that date before. Right here, on Michael's train ticket. The dates match.
Well, then, someone thought you died in that train crash.
But who could it possibly be?
Ah.
Of course. My father.
Your father?
Yes! Isn't that painfully obvious? My father believes I died in that train crash.
Yes, that makes sense.
It's the answer. Huh. It's the missing piece I've been trying to find for what feels like an eternity.
Oh.
This is why he hasn't contacted me. He thinks that I've been dead for all these years. The proof is that he buried me. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yes. And you're right, Eugene. That could explain it.
Well, this makes finding him all the more important. Oh, if only we could have caught Joel.
Well, why don't we head back to the homeless shelter? Maybe Don knows something else about Joel that'll help us find him.
Gentlemen, I don't know anything else that'll help you find him.
Oh,
that's too bad.
Joel always kept to himself, but most of the visitors here are like that. They have a lot of emotional baggage that they don't necessarily want to share.
But not even his last name? Surely he told someone.
No, he never said.
There's got to be some scrap of information that could help us. We're so close.
I wish I could think of something. He's a man of few words and few possessions, as you can see from his bunk here. Most people keep at least some personal items around, but not Joel.
Would you mind if we look around just the same?
I don't suppose it would hurt, but I doubt you'll find anything useful.
I wouldn't be so sure. Here, his blanket has a name stitched in the corner.
Oh, he had it personalized?
And the name is not Joel. See?
It says...
Grady? Mama? Mr. Whittaker and Mr. Meltzner are here to talk to you.
They are?
Oh, hi, Grady.
Salutations.
Hey, what are you doing with my blanket?
Grady, don't be impolite.
Sorry. What are you doing with my blanket, please?
I'm confused myself.
Well, it's a very long story. How many times have we said that in the last few days? Anyway, the short answer is that we're trying desperately to find information about the man who had this blanket.
Well, I gave it to adoptive family, and then it came back to me.
Mm-hmm.
We decided we didn't need the stuff as much as that homeless guy did, so we gave some of it to him.
Including the blanket?
Yeah.
Now, did Joel say anything about where else he might be staying, Mrs. McKay?
I'm afraid not. We didn't talk long.
Nothing at all?
Oh.
I'm sorry to press the issue, but he may well have information on the whereabouts of my long-lost father.
Oh,
this could help you find your dad?
Well, it very well might.
Well, if you really want to meet this guy, why don't you just talk to him tonight?
Tonight? Where?
At the dinner at Wits End.
Huh?
When we gave him the blanket, I invited him.
You invited him to the dinner?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Everyone's welcome.
Indeed.
Connie and Nick should have Wits End set up by the time we get there.
Mm-hmm.
You're awfully quiet, Eugene.
Hmm? Yes. Well, I'm uncertain as to what to think about any of this. You see, the most likely scenario seems to be that I'll find out nothing at all tonight. I've had my hopes shattered too many times to raise them again, and yet...
What?
It's at least possible that Joel will show up.
Well, yes, of course it is, but don't get your hopes up too high. Now, after today, he might be a little jumpy about going to a public place.
Of course, you're right. But it's as you said, Mr. Whittaker. I should have been more careful. Maybe I shouldn't have started down this path at all. I thought that train ticket was God telling me to take action, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe I should have left it alone.
Oh, don't be so hard on yourself. There's no way that you could have known what would happen.
But my reckless action may have changed everything. For all we know, what we did today at the homeless shelter may have caused Joel to stay away tonight. I might have missed my only chance to learn anything about my father.
But on the other hand, if you hadn't started investigating, and Joel did come, there's no way that you would have known you should talk with him. You wouldn't have had any inkling of his connection with your father.
I might have known. Some clue may have evolved through the course of the evening.
Eugene, all of this is a worthwhile discussion if we were in control of everything going on. But we aren't.
Hmm?
God is in control of all that's happening here. And he has a plan for it. If that plan is for you to find your father, you will.
But what if I made a mistake? What if I didn't follow the plan God had set for me?
Oh, God is bigger than our mistakes.
But that makes it sound as though we can simply do whatever we want and God will work everything out in the end.
Oh, of course, that's not what I mean. Sometimes we go against what God tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think we know what to do, but we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we even try our very best and fail. But no matter what we do, we can't ruin God's plans.
I just finished my 7th full scan of the left side of the room, Mr. Whittaker. Have you seen him on this side?
No. Don't you think I'd tell you if I did?
I just want to know the very moment he arrives.
Look, Eugene, you won't make him get here any faster with your stress. Now, why don't you just relax and sit down?
Mr. Whittaker! Eugene!
What is it, Grady?
He's here!
What?
Over in the corner. That's him!
You're right. It's him! Joel!
Eugene, don't yell at him. He may run off.
But how shall I approach him then? Do I just walk up to him? A disguise, a costume from the little theater is in order. I shall return.
You're being silly. I'll introduce you.
No, wait.
Grady.
Excuse me, mister?
Oh, hello there.
Remember me from the park?
Of course, Grady. You gave me that blanket, didn't you?
Yep.
That was very kind of you.
Yeah, well, my friend wants to talk to you.
Oh?
It's all right. Come on over.
Hello, sir.
Greetings.
Yes, greetings. Now, you don't know me.
Good heavens.
Oh, excuse me?
You look like someone I used to know many years ago.
Yes, Leonard Meltzner.
Yes.
Saw his mustache, of course.
You know the Meltzners?
Well, you could say that, being one of the last of a long line.
What are you saying?
Well, my name is Eugene Meltzner.
What?
I'm Eugene.
It's not possible. You can't be Eugene.
Well, yes, I am. Now, I was hoping that perhaps you might be of assistance in locating my father. Until recently, I assumed he was dead, and I believe he thinks the same of me. Do you know my father?
I do.
Do you know where he is? Please, I've been searching and searching.
You don't need to search anymore.
What do you mean?
I'm your father. I'm Leonard Meltzner.
Wow, I'm so glad Eugene finally found his father. But there are still so many questions. Be sure to keep listening to Adventures in Odyssey for the answers. You know, in today's show, Whit and Eugene talked about how God works. A lot of people think that God has one and only one perfect plan for our lives. And if we make just one mistake, we can never get back into God's plan again. But that's not what the Bible says. Daniel 4:35 says, God does what he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can stop him. As long as we seek him, we can be a part of his will. God knows us. He knows everything about us, past, present, and future. And he isn't surprised when we aren't perfect. God is bigger than our mistakes. In fact, he has control over everything. How great is that? Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. A Time for Action was written by Nathan Hoopler and directed by Marshall Younger. Our sound designers were Jonathan Crow and Glenn Montjoy, with music by John Campbell. Our vocal talent included Paul Herlinger, Julian Busher, Scott Mendville, Phil Proctor, and Jordan Orr, with Will Ryan as Eugene. Our producers were Marshall Younger and Bob Hoos. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.